The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Stunt Granny Audio 247, right out the gate, can't even get this thing right. So that's Kevin clapping in the background. We're just going to plow on through. That's what you get for waking up a minute before you're supposed to start this.
Well, that tenth of a second is going to cost you in the luge, Jeremy.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, I guess. Do they even cover the luge on TV?
Hell yeah. I was watching some luge the other night.
What? Where? Oh, my God. My 600-pound life is on.
It was on NBC because I guess they were at least semi-happy with the fact that an American finished in 13th during one of the qualifying rounds.
That's some dangerous shit, too.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's why, to me, that's my biggest argument for the Winter Olympics. I love the danger factor. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't have any threat of death or mutilation, really, in the Summer Games. But there are so many ways to hurt yourself with sharp skates and other things in the Winter Olympics. It's much more enjoyable in the crash and burn department.
Yeah, I was going to say, or with blunt objects, is that one poor bastard learned, was that it was in the luge as well, I believe. Then he left the track and ran into a pole because no one thought, hey, there shouldn't be a pole right next to the track. You know, a giant metal structure beam. But they put pads on it later, so that made it better. No, every time I've turned the Olympics on, it's been cross-country skiing.
Oh.
And not even the interesting. Or it was some blowout hockey game for the women.
Yeah.
Well, and it's no offense to the women. It's okay, but they're not as fast as the men are. So it feels like the action's very plodding in some points. I just want them to be faster. So
yeah. No, I've kind of watched a couple of games, but it is a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I feel like I'm watching to me it seems pretty similar to college.
Yeah. Or even minor leagues, some of the minor leagues, depending on which ones you're watching.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen, like, minor league hockey in so long. Like, that's all I used to watch.
Well, down here, that's all we have.
Go to the Johnstown Chiefs games, but now I don't, I watch the big boys, so it's kind of tough. And I haven't gone to an Ohio State game in a long time.
The last one I went to, I think, was funny since you mentioned the Chiefs. They became the Greenville Road Warriors, so I've seen a couple of those games, and just they're okay, but
yeah, they're a little too far down for my own enjoyment. Plus, I don't think those guys really ever get out of there.
So, no, most of the time, no. I don't know. Is it a good thing to be like a fifth year captain for a minor league hockey team? I mean, I guess for employment, it's great. But career advancement, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, no, you've had to have accepted your station in life if you are a fifth-year captain in the ECHL.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy, and you, when you get a following, you know, as your following grows year after year, that's probably a bad thing. But, no, I don't know if you can see me smiling, but I turned on my 600-pound life in the background and
oh my God!
This lady's lost 45 pounds at least, but she doesn't look happy about it. And she's wearing,
it's a different 600-pound woman.
Yeah, dude, this is a series.
This is a series.
Yes, this is a weekly series.
Oh my god! Yes. So that was the stuff they played on Opie and Anthony this morning was just like the first week.
Yeah, it started. No, this has been a special, off and on for a few years. They'll have like an all new My 600 Pound Life, and it's like one person event. But now they've brought it out, and it's just straight up series. And wow, I don't. She's lost weight at least, so I'm not going to crisp. But she, I don't know if she's. The episode we're watching, this lady's dyeing her hair blue, so if you've seen this one. But she was first wearing a green shirt with brown pants, so she looked like a tree. Now it's just all purple, and. Alright, this is going to be distracting. Time to get on to something else here, so. I was trying to find, you know, just something else in the background, but. But yeah, with the Olympics though, I don't know. I watched cross country skiing, and they actually had a very significant downhill portion that surprised the hell out of me. Like they were going almost straight downhill, and I just remember like when I used to cross country ski, we didn't do any of that stuff. So this must be the extreme course or something. I don't know. The guy was too busy yelling to explain things. And two guys collided, so that was interesting, and the guy gave up, but then realized everybody else on the track was taken out too. So he got back up and came in third. So
Good for him.
And I guess that would actually be considered winning a bronze, wouldn't it? Like most of the time you're awarded the bronze just for finishing. But if everyone else crashes and you get up and outrace everybody,
yeah, I would call that one a little more well earned than most of them.
Yeah, than just being the second or third. Yeah, second loser, right?
Yeah.
So, but anyways, as stimulating as that was, that's the Winter Olympics. I did see that they pulled Bob Costas from the broadcast now.
Yeah, no, I mean the big time is still ready to roll, which is the men's ice hockey. So.
Yeah,
and whatever. I'm waiting to watch entirely too much hockey over the next like 5 days.
Yeah, well, plus they're also going to get into the women's figure skating and all that, which isn't my cup of tea. But that's the big event, so they're already doing it. I don't know. So
no, they haven't done that stuff yet.
But what's the? They were talking about. We both listen to Opie and Anthony, which is where I'm getting this from. But what is the name of that event where you cross country ski? And then you start shooting guns.
Oh, I forget what that... it's not biathlon? I don't know if it's that simple. I'm not completely sure, to be honest with you.
I don't know, but that is part of your danger level thing as well. Your uneasy hands having to shoot a rifle. Is it the biathlon? Because I'm watching the game here, and it's scrolling results on the bottom.
Yeah, it's biathlon. Okay, I was right.
So, okay. I just don't get it. Like,
yeah, I'm not quite sure why those two things got put together exactly. It's just like, okay, if you need to go skiing and shoot a moose to survive in the wilderness, here's your event.
Well, okay. All right. Honestly, you've kind of made a point for that then. I that would have never occurred to me that that's what they were doing.
I that's right. The only thing I can come up with as an explanation for it.
Well, yes, that actually does make sense. It's smarter than downhill skiing while trying to do shoots, like downhill shoot skiing. That I would watch all day though. That'd be fantastic. Just straight pipe down, and then once you hit the air, you've got to start shooting skeet as you're flying. That'd be so great.
Yeah, I could see Bodie Miller coming down, shooting the gates as he's coming down the giant slalom.
Or that one poor outstanding bastard that was the one guy that was always on Wide World of Sports crashing into something.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name is. But
no one knows who it is. It's just the guy that always crashes. It was beautiful. Just great. I mean, I don't know. That as much as we may mock this stuff, these guys are pretty elite athletes. I mean, good God. Even the cross-country skier guys.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, their cardio's got to just be completely insane.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be able to do that stuff. Like, I don't even want to deal with that. Like, I mean, I'm in half-decent shape, but that is a whole different level of dedication to be able to do that cardio-wise.
Yeah, and just to dedicate yourself to something like that. And most of them are all, like, the just real skinny, like, I mean, but they have muscle tone and whatever else, but nothing, like, and basically what this is leading to is, like, the athleticism of wrestlers. This is, you know, this is where, what I was, wanted to talk about, and I was actually on Messenger, with Shahid about this last night. During, you've made mention of it in the past few shows, that the match quality on TV is as good as it's been in years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what we noticed, and I just noticed last night, was even the big guys are really stepping it up and showing a level of athleticism. I mean, the first match was what? The first one that really brought it to my attention was the Wyatt's and Rey Mysterio, Cody Rhodes, and Goldust.
Okay.
And here you've got, like, an old guy in his mid to late 40s in Goldust. Cody Rhodes, a young guy. Rey Mysterio, who's on what Shahid called his fourth ACL, which I'm probably in his right knee.
Yeah, he hasn't counted the left knee yet.
Yeah. Well, but you've got, like, you know, Cody doing the off the top of the cage moonsault, just not real smart. And Jim Ross, Jim Ross came out against that too, which is good. So,
well, and I agree with his. I mean, it's a hard move to execute. So he did it once in Madison Square Garden. It got some pop on the internet, and just kind of leave it at that. Like, they were just trying to go for more, and that spot came off just awful. And I mean, that's,
well,
it's the nature of the beast there, I guess.
Yeah, and in a spot like that, it's such an awkward setup anyways. You've got the guy around you has to stand around like a moron and then see you, like, flying, coming down off the top. And
right.
You just have to stand there. And it's very contrived. It doesn't look realistic at all. But it looks dangerous as hell, which it is.
For all participants, not just the guy coming off the top. I mean, there is a decent chance that the person getting landed on is going to have a neck problem, too.
Yeah, exactly. If you catch somebody in a shoulder in the wrong spot, you can break a collarbone. Which, I mean, and this isn't to undercut their professionalism. And, you know, it hasn't happened so far. That doesn't mean it won't, but I guess you can't be scared that it will, which is the whole wrestler mentality anyways. You've got that, but then you've got a guy like Goldust throwing his body around. I mean, he's every week he's doing that. He's not connecting fully with it, but he's still attempting it. What the hell? Where he basically does a rolling somersault off the apron onto somebody.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing the senton off the apron onto someone.
Huh.
It's been pretty crazy that he's even thrown it out there. I mean, he was always, I guess I would say that his body type would have lent itself to that style.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's a tall guy, but he's not overly big. And never has been.
Mm-mm.
No. So, you know, I guess he can fit. To me, it's kind of surprising. Like, Ray fits in with kind of the new mold just because of, I mean, he was athletic before that was a term, really,
right.
to worry about. And Goldust kind of was a forerunner, too, in some respects, at least.
Well, Goldust always, or Dustin Reynolds, when he was just Dustin Reynolds, he always had like a, he always had muscle, but it was also covered up. Like he never had his dad's obvious, you know, weight issue, but he wasn't a very light guy, so he wasn't always running around. And he's even had a history of back issues, which took him out of wrestling for a while. Besides his own, what he said, issues and whatnot. But to see like a guy like that age and a guy like Rey Mysterio still doing his thing, and then you add in a bunch of guys who have no business moving as fast, or really as effortlessly without getting blown up. I mean, and I'm just calling him. I'd keep calling him now future superstar Luke Harper. His wind is pretty incredible for a guy his size. And even if they're doing small tags, but when he's in the ring, he's flipping, he's taking flat back bumps. I mean, typically for a guy that size, you don't see him going down flat back all that often. And when he does, he pops right back up. No obvious, you know, like strain for breath or anything like that.
Yeah, no, and his partner, really, he doesn't, Eric Rowan hasn't been getting as much time, but I mean, yeah. He hasn't looked bad when they've given him the time, though. And I mean, with all these matches they've been doing, they've been getting more time in the ring, and they've been getting those commercial length matches instead of just the squash matches right. that they had been. I mean, because they really still haven't been around for very long.
Right. No, but I mean, and we're also forgetting Bray Wyatt in this, which is he was going to be next. But Eric Rowan's the guy you can see they're clearly protecting, and you can see why.
Yeah, because I don't know what his history is, but you know, Luke Harper was in ROH before he even went to Prime Wrestling. So it's not like he hadn't been around.
Mm-hmm.
So you give him another year because he was only off. Actually, he was only off TV for about 6 months. 6 months to a year, I think.
Is from, all the from PWO till
debut. It wasn't 2 years. It was a year and a half tops. I'd have to go back and check on the article there when I talked about him signing.
Yeah,
but he made it through the system pretty quick, and I think it's because he had had a lot of history on him already.
Right. Well, plus they fit the gimmick perfectly. Like, I don't know it, and I'd. This isn't going to turn into a like Eric Rowan bashing, but the Rowan, like when he's wearing the sheet mask, it kind of fits. When he takes it off, I don't know, his orange beard is so cartoony to me. It kind of takes me out of it. And he hasn't done anything in the ring to make me go yuck, but he hasn't done anything in the ring to make me like stand up like, wow, that was really impressive. The way Harper and Bray Wyatt have. But didn't we already know this about Bray Wyatt to begin with?
Yeah, he was the tank with the Ferrari engine, yeah. I believe is the correct saying.
Yep.
So yeah, no, that was always kind of, you know, at least to this point, it's become a blessing in disguise that he didn't stick around.
Right.
Yeah, no, I thought he was good when they showed him on NXT. And he's had, well, another couple of years since then to refine, and I think he's gotten better in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good on him for improving, also, like, not just the gimmick, but just in his in-ring work.
Yeah, and I don't know, man, I find... Like the fact that those guys, and I think it's really lost on, and this sounds snobbish, and it's not meant to, but I think a general audience, like, that doesn't get into all the small aspects, like your kids in that, obviously, and I think there's plenty of adults, don't understand just how conditioned these guys are. I mean, a guy that's like as big as Luke Harper, and really, stature-wise, Bray Wyatt's short. I think he's only like 6 foot.
Yeah, he's not that tall.
But he keeps up, and he moves around effortlessly. That the finish of that match was spectacular. I thought it was good. I thought they were trying to cause some like friction with the family, where he bailed on Luke Harper.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh come on, not already. But he tags.
He tags Harper while he's down for the second 619. And catches Ray coming in. Like, I thought it was pretty slick that he turned that into a move. Even though he went the other direction, like, he kind of used Ray's momentum to swing him around, too.
Yeah. And that's...
Which made it a little more believable.
Yeah. And it capped off, what, 15 minutes? A 15-minute match where it... I think if there wasn't an Elimination Chamber match, I think that would have added to the drama, because they weren't going to lose going into the Elimination Chamber.
Right, but I think this is another one where I think it's a smart build-up on the WWE's part to have the group that has been around for a while, the Shield, be the ones kind of with the we might break up gimmick and barely pulling out wins or, you know, even coming close to losing like they did, like Dean Ambrose did this week. As opposed to, like, well, I said back when Daniel Bryan lost at the pay-per-view to Bray Wyatt is that he didn't have enough wins under his belt to make it meaningful. Well, it seems like their team is finally getting those meaningful wins.
Yes.
To be in that position to take on someone like the Shield. Like, I mean, even when the Wyatt family teamed, they weren't winning the matches. Well, when it was just Harper and Rowan, they weren't winning the matches against the bigger tag teams, or the bigger name tag teams, like the Usos on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they always had some type of interference if they even won.
Right.
But, and then Bray didn't have any wins either, but Bray beat, did he beat Kofi the other week on SmackDown?
I think so.
So, I mean, that's like a win that you're just like, okay, that's the kind of win that would have said, okay, he is capable of beating, Daniel Bryan, but he didn't have it before then. But yeah, the family needs the wins and they're getting them because, Rey Mysterio and, who the shit did he team with?
The Rhodes Brothers.
The Rhodes Brothers, who were just tag team champs. Like, they're still getting a little mileage out of former tag team champs, although it certainly looks like they're positioning to move those two guys on to something different soon.
Yeah, I actually kind of forgot about this, but then you had, and this is actually a twofold commentary on this one. You had the Usos versus... oh my God! Who did the Usos take on? I just lost my train of thought all of a sudden. Whoever they beat.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Was it Ryback and Curtis Axel?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Athletic. Those two guys. That's one of those. That's one of those teams or group of individuals or just people in general. It's taken forever for them to get a push, and for the crowd to get behind them. And no one complained. Like, everybody wants instant gratification with things. Where these guys have pretty much, you know, built up as it's gone along over the last, what, 2 years, 3 years for them?
It's been kind of funny, like, when I think back, because I was... they were opening some shows for Superstars when I go to Raw or the SmackDown here.
Yep.
And I kept on going, wow, these guys are getting a surprisingly good reaction, even though they weren't really on, like, the big TV show. And actually that can tie into another point, too, that we can talk about.
Yeah.
But you know, they were starting to get a good reaction then, and they've just kept on chugging along. I mean, I think they're part of the reason they weren't getting pushed is the tag team division as a whole wasn't getting pushed.
True. Well, yeah,
but they didn't feel like breaking them up at all for I don't know what reason, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think right now you can break. I mean, I know we've mentioned the tag team division, but no one really gets to talk.
No.
So it's all, you know, it's all just them. It's all based on their, and well, match quality and athleticism that gets them over. And that's
yeah,
what it is.
And they showed it off again this week.
That was a badass tag, man. But that's what I think has gotten that team over, is just flying around the way they do.
I feel like they've lightened up a little bit and toned up a little bit to become more agile than they seemed to be before. Like I feel like I didn't see them doing this kind of thing like that couple of years ago. They were just kind of, and it's kind of funny, I guess when I think back on them kind of changed gimmicks, I'm like, ah, crap, they're going with the regular Samoan thing. They're going with the haka dance. They're going with the face paint. And then it slowly morphed into, you know, them doing better. Like, I don't know if they're, what are you laughing about?
Just keep going. It's nothing. It's just, I turned my 600-pound life back on.
Oh, okay.
And this thing is just driving me crazy, so.
Yeah, no. Well, what the fuck? It was about the Usos and them maybe dropping a little bit of weight. I really did groan when they went to this, but I don't know if they just feel more comfortable now as themselves doing this kind of a thing, mm-hmm. rather than just kind of, they weren't really giving them the Samoan thing at all.
Well, yeah,
like they were acknowledging it, but they weren't really using it as a gimmick.
See, that is one thing that does confuse me about their gimmick, is they come out with the face paint, they do the whole dance routine, which I still don't know what they're saying, except Samoa, Samoa. And then the use, when we say ooh, you say ohs. But then their music changes as they're walking down. It's like, well, this is kind of confusing. But then they get around, they're flying around. It's like, all right, sweet. This is really cool. But, I mean, just their athleticism, too. And, again, like, not small people doing moves as if, you know, they're rather small people.
Yeah. And then, yeah, no, they're impressive. Like I said, that, yeah, or the flying tag was just another one of those things. Just like, mm-hmm. And it's just like some of those guys at this point are pushing, well, it's a less destructive form of ECW.
Yes, the risks are calculated. You're also not getting beat over the head with a chair, too, or tacks, or tables, whatever else.
Yeah, you're not going through a table. You're not doing anything of that sort. Like, but I think a lot of these teams are pushing each other just because everyone's showing it off. Roman Reigns is another one who the most impressive one to me. Like, the Superman punch always looks cool, and they're definitely pushing that thing. And the spear seems to be able to get anybody in their sun over.
Mm-hmm.
But
which really depends on the person you're spearing, too. I think that gets lost. Like, even when Goldberg speared people, who he would hit, and then the way he would pop up and react to it. When Edge would do it, Edge was always in the build-up, and then who he hit. So, it'd be like if... It's kind of like a regular tackle in football. No one gives a shit. But if you catch the guy off guard and his body flies backwards, you know, it looks a lot better, even though it's the exact same thing. You know? So, yeah, the spear's always a two-way street. So,
yeah.
Look impressive.
Yeah, but to me, his best move is that drop kick that he's doing on guys on the ring apron.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, the guy's head now is hanging under the ring ropes on the apron, and he comes up and jumps up and kicks him in the head.
Yes.
Like, to me, that is the one that, that shows off his athleticism the most.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with the Shield, I mean, you got Seth Rollins. Well, what else do you want? Look at the matches he's had with Daniel Bryan. So, all right, enough there. Dean Ambrose hasn't really shown a whole lot. And I know he was supposed to be the big darling. I'm not saying he's been bad, but, I mean, just on par.
It's kind of been interesting. That dynamic's been kind of interesting with Dean Ambrose really being the guy that flips spots. Like, it seemed like they brought in Roman Reigns to be the silent guy and the muscle, so he gets to, you know, just do a whole lot of nothing. And Ambrose is the leader, and Seth Rollins is the architect.
Yeah. And Seth Rollins still needs to shave or comb, brush that beard down, too. I think it gets distracting. But, yeah, but you've got another set of young guys whose athleticism's just crazy. And then you go to the Sheamus-Christian thrown-together tag team match with the Real Americans. And as much shit as Sheamus takes, I think, for his character, which I think is deserved most of the time. That dude is a monster in the ring. I mean, for a big guy, he sweats like crazy, and his you know, the mousse comes out of his hair, but he never looks exhausted.
No.
You know, he's breathing hard, but not to where he like can't stand up, unlike a certain guy, you know, that's been off for 4 years and then came back.
Sheamus and Cesaro, when they had their slugfest.
Oh, yes.
It was just awesome. Like, there's just no two ways to slice that one. That was just a lot of fun to watch those, because they're just two big guys that are both very agile, also, just beating the tar out of each other.
I think one thing, when I met Sheamus back at WrestleMania, was it 27 we went to?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He didn't stick out. He didn't remind me of the old wrestlers from the 80s, okay? And that he didn't, like, his physical like posture and that, he wasn't gigantic. There it is. And he's still a big guy, though. And he was only like an inch or two taller than me, which I thought was kind of weird.
I was always surprised when you sent me that picture. I'm like, damn, I didn't think Jeremy was almost as tall as him.
Yeah, nor did I. Especially, I got my doctor told me when I went to my physical, I am now 6'1". And I'm like, I thought I was always 6'2". Like, oh, shit. I'm
losing an inch, huh?
I'm shrinking. Yeah. Crap. But Sheamus is still a big dude. I mean, he was, like, wide.
Oh,
which to me doesn't come across on TV. He looks a lot leaner on TV than he looked in person.
Boy, I always thought the camera put on 15
that's
pounds.
That's what you'd think, yeah. But yeah, but then that whole I want to find the exact line I sent that I was saying to Shahid when they broke him up. I was very disappointed.
When they broke who up?
When Sheamus and Cesaro, and Cesaro's just hitting him with the uppercuts, and all of a sudden Sheamus, and I think that was somebody, either Edge or Chris Jericho, during the podcast they shared. They said the best part about a wrestling match is when people go, wait a minute, was that real? When they were in the corner and Cesaro's giving him the European uppercuts, and all of a sudden Sheamus just pushes him away and then goes, come on! And Cesaro goes in for another one, and Sheamus just cuts him off and hits him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know. It was something like, come on, let these two monkeys just fight it out. I was like, it was just, okay, it's in this thing somewhere, but.
Oh, okay. I was trying, well, yeah, I don't know if I could have bought you any time. You seemed like you were buying your own time.
Yeah, I was trying, but, oh, well.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, because that did.
Oh, I said, let these two animals duke it out. That was it. I didn't give a shit about Christian. I didn't care about Jack Swagger. Unfortunately for them, I would love if that was an actual match at WrestleMania. Just the two of them. I don't know what kind of backstory you could have, but damn, that'd be fun.
Well, it's going to have as much backstory as pretty much anything else going on right now. So
true. That's true. So. But yeah, but no, it's just, but again, Cesaro, they go through all that stuff, and that, how is that tossing, I'm not sure what they, if they have a name for it, he tosses the guy in the air and then gives him the uppercut as they're coming down?
I just call it the super uppercut.
Okay, that should be a finisher. I mean, that is an incredible spectacle as well.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately with that one, you can really only do that with the smaller opponents because he did that against Christian.
Yes, but I guess doesn't that kind of go against what we've been talking about, though? To where maybe you can pull it off with somebody else, you know?
It's possible. I don't think I see Sheamus doing it unless he, like, catches them, like, but oh, actually, that's the other thing that they have been doing with that super uppercut is they've been allowing it to happen off of other moves.
Yeah,
so they could have Sheamus go into one when he goes for his flying shoulder block.
Yeah,
and
yeah, true.
They could have Cesaro hit it because I think there's been a couple of springboard moves. So yeah, no, when they wanted to do a move like that, I guess recently they found a way to work it in.
Yeah, just like Randy Orton finally figured out how to work in the DDT from the second rope stuff.
Yeah, oh,
which I think was that Christian, wasn't it, or was it Dolph Ziggler? Was the first one to actually pull that off to where it made sense. But I know these are the few people, a few matches we've talked about, but I don't know. It's growing to appreciate what these guys are doing. Even a guy like John Cena, that top rope leg drop, which he should stop doing, that's got to be murder on him. Because not that it would actually, you know, he'd actually land on somebody, but that's pretty much just a free fall from the top all the way down. And the way he jumps off the top rope, like,
jumps, he gets himself some decent air.
Yeah. And this is a guy that's been on the road how long, for how many years? That's going to take its toll.
Well, that's what, when you wanted to make that a topic today, I was like, I'm not, you know, it was one of those things when I was watching Total Divas and he started freaking out about the latest injury. I'm trying to think of which one that was.
The elbow.
Oh, yeah, the elbow. I was just like, oh, whatever. But then I guess that was another one when we were talking about not realizing that guys were that old. Like, I mean, I guess I didn't realize he was that old. And I guess it's not surprising to me that he's getting nicked up a little bit more these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, a move like that. And just from working for, almost any moment he could for the past 10 years.
Yeah. And I think I brought it up was how, you know, Cena's still important, but he's been kind of marginalized these last few weeks. He loses at the Royal Rumble to pretty much like, well, and maybe the Daniel Bryan effect had something to do with it. But, I mean, Cena, again, loses a big match, and there wasn't a lot of follow-through with it. And maybe some of the CM Punk news takes away from it, conspicuousness of it. But then he's gone for a week, not even a mention of him. I guess he showed up after the cameras stopped rolling. And then even this week, he didn't even have a talking segment until the one interview with Renee Young.
Yeah, and yeah, that, he had a short interview with Renee Young, and that was it.
Yeah, that was literally it, and then he wins the match at the end.
Even though he's been around the characters in the whole authority problem, he's stayed pretty much disengaged from it, which has been kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out, like, him making another big loss. Like, he's one of those guys that I think he has realized almost the whole time he's been around that he needs to lose sometimes to benefit the other people. And sometimes he hasn't made the right call.
Yeah.
Because I think Edge made mention of it, and I know that I noted it here, that that Cena's like, oh, I fucked up the NXT. What the hell? The invasion there.
Yeah, where he beat three of them in a row or something.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know what? Okay, he's made some bad calls, but you know what? You're going to make some bad ones, but. And he's tried to step up and say something good about just about everyone coming up after they've beaten them or after they've come back to the babyface side. And most of the time it was like, you know, people are just like, oh, he's just trying to share the spotlight, this, that, or the other thing. And I mean, he is, but it's also putting the other guy over. And after he's done it for like a half a dozen people, you've got to say, okay, he's, you know, doing this to benefit both parties. Like, you can't just go, oh, he's just being a greedy bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I think that kind of makes that argument null and void when you do it that often.
Yeah. Well, it was funny, though. I was listening to I finished that Jericho Chavo podcast, the second part.
Uh-huh.
I just get the feeling people don't like John Cena behind the scenes. Because Chavo and Ray were supposed to headline like Monterey in Mexico, or Mexico City, excuse me, not Monterey. And Arn Anderson went up to him. This is all in the podcast, so if you want the total story. But basically, Ray and Chavo were supposed to headline the house show. It was a house show. Well, then Arn Anderson came over and said, you're going on in the middle. And they were like, what? Because of, you know, that's where Rey Mysterio's, you know, the name's from. You got the Guerreros, all that sort of stuff built in.
Uh-huh.
Well, then they said, we went out there. We tore the match down, went 25 minutes, whatever else. And we came backstage. And people were telling us how good our match was. Well, not everybody. You know, some guys didn't even say anything to us. They were just, you could just tell they were pissed off. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, you know, Cena, he wasn't real happy. And Jericho goes, of course he wasn't. And Chavo was like, yeah, I know. It's just, it's the same thing. And I'm like, wait a second. This is like another guy. Because I think I even made mention to you that I don't believe Edge liked him very much either. Just based off of, you know, that small comments. But
gotcha.
Yeah. And then DX wasn't happy. And Jericho was like, of course they weren't. But Chavo tried to cover it up. They're like, well, then they go out and they have a great match themselves and whatever else. But I don't know. It was just a funny aside that, you know, you hear all the shit talking about John Cena, and it seems pretty clear that he wasn't. Some of them are not very well liked. So,
yeah. Well, and it might be one of those things that at that time frame he wasn't about to give that up. You know, maybe he has started to realize with the because, I mean, more of his major injuries have happened in the last, what, 5 years since he's turned 30?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, but that,
you know, when Chavo was around, which is Lord only knows how long ago at this point, honestly, like, how long's he?
I think it's been 5 years, 5 or 6 years now, he said he's been gone.
Cena debuted in 2002, I believe, was what the graphics said this week when they were doing that write-up. So, I mean,
wow.
Chavo was there for, well, not quite half of Cena's career, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it'd be kind of interesting to see if that was part of the change.
Yeah. I don't know. With the Cena thing, though, it's just... I thought the promo backstage was kind of out of the blue, too, about how there's a definite change in the guard going on, and it's like, what? There is? I don't know how you can say you have a change in the guard when you just brought somebody back in who hasn't been around for 4 years. you know. But then he like, you know, mentioned people. And one guy, I don't know what happened. I was thinking of this when you were talking about Cena losing to people. What the hell happened to Damian Sandow? Is he in the ultra cool-off phase right now? He loses Money in the Bank, and it's been downhill since.
Yeah, no. Even Dolph Ziggler doesn't have it as bad as Damian Sandow.
Dolph Ziggler, at least Ziggler's on TV.
yeah, at least he's getting Raw spots still.
Yeah. very surprising.
It's really strange. Like, they started to fill in that character a little bit more, and then all of a sudden he kind of did something really dumb with the briefcase, really, considering most people have done it after an exhausting match. Like, he did it after a beatdown, but...
Well, Cena already had a match the night before on pay-per-view. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah, that's right, they were selling the injury. You're right.
That was, I think, one of...
Actually, one of that, Cena's that was mistakes. Pretty smart. Never mind.
So, yeah.
Well,
he had just won the title back, so it was kind of... I'm trying to figure out...
Yeah, like, I don't think that's a mistake on Cena's part. Like, that's a stupid... a stupid spot to put him in.
Right.
Like, I mean, you make him look bad, but you can't really expect Sandow to win it then.
After that beatdown, I fully expected him to win it there. But then, nothing. I was like, okay, that's just kind of a strange thing to do. So,
well, there was kind of this, still that, to me, I guess that story with Cena, and was he feuding with Orton still?
I want to say it was Orton, but I...
Yeah, I feel like it was Orton, but like I feel like it hadn't ended yet. So to me, I didn't expect Sandow to win. Like, I expected Cena to hold on to the belt for him to take on Orton again.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of bad timing for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As many good things has happened with Cena lately. What'd you think about him winning last on Monday night? Because that RKO looked like that should have been the finish of the match. I mean, it was very well done on their part.
Yeah, well, they both got the kick out of a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess when one happens, I always expect it out of the other. I always expect whoever gets in that third finisher is the one that wins the match.
Yeah.
Best 2 out of 3 finishers wins.
Become ROH all of a sudden.
But I don't know. It's kind of an interesting... Well, no, it just hit me, I guess, that they could be setting it up. They've only had... Because if Orton's going to wrestle everyone that's going to be in the chamber with him, doesn't he have 2 more matches then?
Yeah,
he has. One against Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yep.
I mean, they could position it so they end up having him beat Cesaro and Sheamus and make it more of a 3-way with Cena, Daniel Bryan, and Orton at WrestleMania.
Well, it can't happen if you got Batista in there.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So unless this is their way of booking it to where it comes down to Daniel Bryan, Cena, and Orton in the Elimination Chamber, the final 3. I mean, unless they're pulling a gigantic about face, Orton comes out of the chamber as champion to go against Batista.
Yeah, because no one else really. Well, Cena makes sense, obviously, because he's Cena, but.
Yeah, well, I can also see with
especially
little...
since Batista's kind of acted heelish again this week.
Yeah, the only good Batista there is a heel Batista. We ran out of time for that one, but yeah. I don't know. They've got a built-in excuse for Daniel Bryan not to win, so I don't mind that. I mean, it seems obvious Kane will interfere somehow, and then it'll get back to Triple H, send him out there. But I don't know. Maybe if we can work another one in this week, we can talk about... Well, Elimination Chamber still has next week for hype, right? Yeah. Okay. So I guess we can talk about that a little bit later next week after we get through the Raw for that. Especially with all the news of people that are coming out that are supposed to show up on the the February 24th show. So on Raw, but I think that's a good place. Well, we'll stop there for this week. For this episode, excuse me. We'll see about what happens with another show later this week. If I'm able to survive the snowpocalypse, I guess that's what they're calling it.
Yeah, no, you guys are getting it much later than we are. I've been living in a world of snow for quite some time at this point.
Well, yeah, but we're not supposed to get 10 inches of snow here.
Yeah, no, you're not at all.
Pretty crazy. So if... I mean, I work down the street. I mean, I live close to work, so I can always just go in. But yeah, I was totally shocked when I read that before we started the show. So, but we get to the plugs. We're Stunt Grinding on all social media. You can find our podcast on any of the podcast providing programs, apps, or websites. Just look for Stunt Granny. On Twitter, I'm Granny Mays, DeFrango11 for Kevin. Stunt Dusty for Dusty Giebink. Eric runs the Stunt Grinder account, or Granny account, one of the two. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I ran out of water halfway through the show, so I'm running on fumes here. So yeah, check us out on all that. Email us, stuntgranny@gmail.com. I'm going to get out of here, and we'll talk to you next show.
Okie dokie, grandkids. I am almost out of sippy time beers in my fridge, but hopefully they will be reviewed soon, especially the Wisconsin special that I keep on talking about. I think I've had like 10 of the 12 beers, so almost ready to go with the 3-week Wisconsin special. Enjoy, grandkids. Yeah.